Colossians chapter 3, please. And if you notice verse 20, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is what?" Come on. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is what? Well-pleasing unto the Lord." Amen. And then, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Thank you. May be seated. So most of us who fail to, in our duties as Christian parents, do not do so, not because we have deliberately chosen to fail, but we have become careless and busy with other things and have not seen the warning signals that should remind us something is wrong with our child rearing. Now, I'm not talking about little kids. I'm talking about our teenagers, children. And that's very important. If you have to go through these things, and we answer yes in every situation, we have a real problem on our hands. Let me tell you this, that child rearing is one of the greatest things, greatest endeavor in all the world. It really is. There's nothing as important as child rearing. But the other side is that there's nothing more devastating to a family than child rearing if it's not done right. And I wouldn't have to go, you know, on and on and on. We all know people who have, not raised their children according to the Word of God, according to what the Bible says. And so it's very important that we do that. So let me go through some of this, and I want you to listen and judge yourselves as we answer the question, yes, no. Do you have to tell your child more than once to go to sleep, to be quiet in church, to stop crying, to finish the job? Does your child fail to answer immediately and respectfully when you or another adult speaks to him? See, what happens is at first it's just, you know, mommy, daddy, but after a while it goes on to other people. And if they don't respect their father and mother, they're not going to respect the authorities. And there's going to be problems with the teachers and the problem with the pastor, the problem with authorities. And this is so important. If they don't respect father and mother, they're not going to respect other authorities. Has your child gotten to the impression that has your child gotten the impression that he can say, get away with disobedience? So do your children push back? And it could be verbally, but do they push back? You say, well, you know, they do, but that's wrong. I remember the Bible says honor and obey. Those are key words. And they're not just words for the moment. They're words for life. Word for life. It's very important for us to comprehend. You know, some people say, well, you know, my child's just going through a little difficulty right now. A little difficulty? Let me tell you what happens. You know, you're talking about the ruination of what you know as your family if your child didn't obey. And it's very important that they honor and obey you. If not, it's not going to be just a little stage you're going through. It could be devastating. So this is important to comprehend. Have you failed to teach your child to say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong? Well, how are they going to learn that if you don't teach them? And they need to learn to say, I'm sorry, but they also need to see us say, I'm sorry. Your father's sorry. Your mother's sorry. You allow your child to withdraw into a sullen, stubborn silence when he fails to get his own way. Now, you know, our kids would not allow to be put out. You know, they weren't allowed to be put things off or have a sullen face on or have fits or tantrums. They weren't allowed. It was, what'd you do to stop it? I told them, knock it off. And that was a Greek word for stop it. All right? They weren't allowed to. Why? You're blessed. What are you talking about? You're so blessed. You know, the home you're in, the church you're in, the school you're in. I mean, these are things to be thankful for. Amen? And has your child failed to develop an appreciation for rights and properties of other people? Is your child allowed to argue with you when you tell them what to do? Now, I'm telling you right now, children should not argue. Whether they're little or they're large, doesn't matter. You say something, they do it, and as teenagers, they come back and say, "Mom, Dad, I don't know if this is really fair. I did what you told me to do. I did it with the right attitude, but I don't know if this is fair. I think we need to consider, you know, whatever it may be." Is your child a habitual whine and complainer? Now, let me just tell you this, beloved. When people whine and complain, guess what they're going to become when they get older? Whiners and complainers. And they go through life, and, "Oh, Harry's whining again. You know, and complaining." That's what's going to happen. What do you think? All of a sudden they're going to be go from a caterpillar to a metamorphosis of a butterfly? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now all of a sudden life is beautiful, and if they're whining and complaining, it's going to be that the rest of their life. So it's important to sit down and teach your children, instruct them. What are you instructing them? You're going to reap what you sow. You're not going to get away with this. These are principles for life. Now, you don't want to sit down with a two-year-old. Now, I want to tell you that, you know, but as they get older, when you get to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the teenage years, they shouldn't be allowed to get away with things. And don't let them learn to whine and complain about things. You know, the idea of it's not fair, the teacher didn't treat me fair, the school's not fair, the library's not fair. I've met people like that. They're troubled adults. Troubled adults. All going back to it's not fair when they were little. And they're going to whine and complain then. Guess what they're going to do in their 40s? Whine and complain. In the 50s, whine and complain. It's not right. And it's all because of bad parenting. You don't want to be that way. Does your child prefer being in everywhere else but at home? That's not a good thing. Does your child scoff at all things you consider important? They scoff at the Bible. They scoff at authority. Your authority. Your wife's authority. They scoff at education. I mean, this is a downward spiral. Does your child rarely or never discuss with you his dreams or plans? Well, they're not going to. My parents would like my dreams and plans. Well, you need to alter them. You need to comply. You get back. What is God's will for your life? That's what should be done. Does your teenager make all the choices about his life without regard to your values? See, this is happening right now. You're in for serious problems. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you. You need to bring that child or children, into compliance. And I'm telling you, they're not going through a little tiff or a little. It's a bad road. Have you become aware that your child makes no significant contribution home, either to help with their work or their attitude? They're not pitching in. What are they doing? They're selfish. They're full of self. And again, Mom, I brought this out this morning. It's very important for you to let your children do things. Let them get involved. Well, they're not going to do it right. They're not going to. Well, guess what they're going to grow up with? I'm not going to do it because it's not going to please my mother, my wife, whatever happens. They'll just transfer that responsibility. You have your child get involved. Have your child do what they're supposed to. Do chores and make sure they're done right. Follow up. Look into it. So, let me ask you this. Number 14, are your teenagers pretty much allowed to follow the curfew hours which the world sets for its children? You know, I don't understand Christian parents. or professing Christian parents. I don't understand it. You know, what are your child doing out at midnight? Well, that's when a lot of kids. What do you mean a lot of kids? What about your kids? It's very important, beloved. They have a time. Why? So they don't stay up all night. So they're not going to get themselves in trouble. You think people get in trouble during the day, but no, it's at night. It's at night. And if they give you a reason, well, I'm hanging out with my friends. So what time do you usually go to bed? Get home and get to bed. Come see your family. Talk to us. This is so important, beloved. Number 15, do you feel you're unable to trust your child's word? Number 16, does your child prefer non-Christian friends and non-church activities of fellowship and activities does your child prefer non-Christian friends and non-church activities over the fellowship of Christian people? You say, well, they have more in common and so on. But there's something wrong with the training there. There's something wrong with the teaching. There's something wrong. You want your child to follow your faith. You don't want them to go off into the world. You don't want them to live that way. It's not going to be well. It can't be. And that's what you want to save them from. So, number 17, when your child has a run-in with authority outside the home, are you quick to assume the attitude that the teacher, the police officer, the boss, etc., has in for your child without a cause? Come on. Are your children allowed to choose their own clothing without any regard to Bible standards of modesty? I know that, styles change all the time. They're all different, and they can constantly change. Why? Because people, that's how they spend money. Oh, the styles change. I got to spend this. I got to buy a whole new wardrobe. But the issue is, what happens with your child? Are they capable of picking out proper clothes? Are they thinking about this would not be pleasing to God? Whatever it may be. Are your children allowed to choose their style of hair and appearance without any regard to the teaching of the Bible? So, again, the idea is, you don't want to raise a child with a mohawk, right? Or whatever it may be. You want to have everything. I went in barber a while ago. I go to a guy named Bruno right down the street. He's great. He's 80-something years old. He talks about Italy, cuts my hair, and we're done, right? It's good. It's all good. So when I went in there to see him, he became a new barber to me. I had left another one, and I walked in there. I was seeing guys, I want this size clip. I want to get this short here, up here. Up. I'm looking around. I'm saying, okay, when I go to the barber, I'm going to tell him, I just want a haircut like it used to be. And so I told Bruno, I said, can you just cut my hair like you did when I was a little kid? That's all I want. I want to look like a human. I want to look normal. And that's what I've been getting ever since. Guys go in there, all sorts of things. But anyway, so let's look at some verses here. Let's go to Proverbs 29, please. Proverbs 29. And, there's your word has to mean something, beloved. It's very important that your word means something. So consider, if you would, Proverbs 29 and verse 15. And notice the Bible says, where there's no vision, I'm sorry, that's not right, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bring his mother to shame. Now, I'm telling you, I know people personally whose kids have gone out and they've just ruined their lives. Just ruined them. I just heard someone told me about how their son is a heroin addict. Now, how do you think that happened? Oh, the drugs are addictive. Hold on. How did you get to the place of the child taking drugs, shooting something in their arms, shooting their thighs,
How do you get to that place? It has to do with the home. There's a problem there. And the problems need to be resolved before they get that far. And so we have to talk. We have to communicate. You got to know where your kids are. You got to know what they're doing, what they're involved with. You got to know their friends. You've got to, why? They're your children. And I'll tell you something, the devil will do anything and everything to destroy that child's life. Are you listening? He does for everyone. He hates God's creation. And then on top of that, he hates people who are saved, and he hates the children. So it's so important, beloved, that we protect our children. And we as men, as leaders, we've got to protect our wives spiritually, physically. We have to protect our children spiritually. What does a child believe? Notice verse 17, please. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So if you don't correct him, what's going to happen? You're not going to have rest. You're going to be troubled. You're not sleep well at night. Why? Because your son, your daughter, they're not giving you rest. Notice chapter 19, please. Chapter 19. And notice 19 and verse 18. And the Bible says in verse 18, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, let me tell you something. I want to be as plain with this as I can. After you discipline your child's going to cry, right? Why is he going to cry? Thank you. It hurts, right? And make sure you discipline properly. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a certain spot you discipline. Don't pull his hair out of his head. Don't slap him in the face. Don't smack him. Don't do any of that stuff. That's wrong. That's child abuse. But, you know, give him something that when he sits down, he has to think about it. Amen? And you need to chase him while you can. The Bible speaks about delivering soul from hell. Now, when they're done, and don't let them go off stomping their feet, they need another round of correction. You say, well, Peyton, preach, I spanked him, and, you know, he went off stomping his feet. Whoa. He needs to be corrected again. You don't stomp your feet. You don't throw a fit. You don't throw yourself on the ground. If you would have obeyed in the first place, none of this would have happened. This is not my fault. This is your fault. This is you're the problem here. I'm living right. You're not. And you want to correct them. But let me tell you where it all starts. It starts off by what? Disobeying your word. Not honoring you. Not obeying you. That's the whole issue. And if that goes on, these other things are going to, you know, have a manifestation in their lives of disobedience, of talking back, of saying, I'm not doing it, and so on. And as they get older, it's only going to get worse. Notice, if you would, chapter 23. And notice verse 13, please. And the Bible says, verse 13, withhold not correction from thy child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. So the Bible gives us an assurance here of the proper discipline. And you say, oh, these words are violent. Oh, these, oh, come on. You know, you're watching people shot up, you know, a whole city. Boom, boom, boom. And, oh, this is violent. Who are you kidding? So the idea is, this is not violent. It's what God says. And when he used the, you know, beat him with a rod, it's not talking about violence there. It's not. It doesn't mean that. It's correction. And you have to correct the you know, Western Hemisphere, right? So notice chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 24. And the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or early. And that's what the Bible says. You've got to start early. You know, if you spare the rod, you don't love him like you should. You don't love his soul like you should. You don't love her soul. So these things are very important. Let's go back to our text in chapter 3, verse 20 of Colossians. And notice verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. So what are some areas that you don't have to obey your parents? What are some areas? Aaron, what do you think? Right? You have to obey in all areas. Now think about tyrants. Sometimes they come and little girls' dresses and little boy suits. Say, how they become that? The problem has not been children. Children have always been the same. What they had a heart to do evil. Yeah, in that little heart, they can say, no, I don't want to. But you have to correct them. The problem is people don't correct their children, and they ought. They don't hold them accountable. And so what do you have? Let me tell you what we have. On college campuses, we have safe spaces. Well, the child's been traumatized. You know what? They didn't get their way. So they're going to march. They're going to fight for their rights, the constitutional rights. It's always a very important to say, before you say rights, say constitutional. Now, where in the world does it say constitutional rights for children to obey? The Bible tells us that. It's very important. And so it all starts with talking back. Now, I'm telling you right now, some of your parents, you want to do it your way, it's not going to work. Never does. I've been ministering for 30-something years. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You have to do it God's way. It's very important, beloved. And I'm not trying to bang you over the head and beat you down or anything. I'm just telling you, you've got to stop this train before it winds up being a train wreck. You've got to hold back. So let me just talk to you a few more minutes, and then we'll close the service. The Jets are playing Minnesota right now, and just eat me alive. No, it's not. So I want to talk to you about the phones and the media and so on. Look, I'm not up to date on these things. I don't know if I want to be. I know there's Snapchat. There's things that, you know, you're on there for a moment, then you're off again. There's texting, there's emails, which probably archaic, most teens. But what I'm saying is that there are things out there. And when you let your child go into a room with their phone, first of all, it's very harmful to them. Just having a phone by you is very harmful. It's not healthy. It gives off radiation. And it causes all sorts of problems with you physically. You know, people who sleep with their phones. Let me tell you, I'm telling you right now, you call me in the middle of the night, I'm not answering. My phone is down in my office. Why? Because I want to sleep. I don't go to bed with my phone. It's down in my office. Now, it depends what time I get up. Depends what time I answer. If you need to call someone, call my wife. Or call Ashley. She'll always answer the phone. I've told these girls not to sleep with their phone. They're saying, oh, I'm putting it over here. I'm putting it away from me. That's fine.
But I'm telling you something, it's not healthy. Forget about what's on the phone. It's not healthy for you to sleep with a phone. Just the addiction alone. You know, people hear a ding. Why do you think they did that? You think they just stumble on that? It was so important for us to become addicted to a phone. Now, someone just came out with a book, I think it was on Fox about a week or two ago, and they just wrote a book. Did anyone know the name of it? She just wrote it. It just came out 2 weeks ago, I think. Get My Life Back or Ghosting My Phone. I don't know. I'm so out of it. But anyway, she talked about her addiction, that she was addicted to a phone. Anytime people wrote, middle of the night, called her, she answered. She said, it kind of grew on me. I became totally enslaved to my phone. And then how? She had to take care of it to get away from the phone. Well, the phone is our tool. For what? To help us keep in touch with our friends, our family, our friends, to make phone calls. But that's it, beloved. Now, you may use your phone for everything. But when you go to bed at night, you have to say goodnight to the phone. Goodnight. Maybe they'll ding you back. I don't know what they're going to do. But people are addicted. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't have it by you. So I need to have it. I have to have it. No, you don't. It's a very rare person who has to have the phone by them. And if you do, put it across the room somewhere. Put it across the room if you have to have it. And it should be associated with your job. And if that's the case, you need to start looking for another job. Amen? You're not on call 24 hours a day. So put the phone to bed in some other room. But our children wind up getting separated from their families. And all this has been planned. You say, conspiracy? Absolutely. Apple, the iPhone, you know, all these different techie things. And the phone is taking people away from their families. Now, how many times have I heard people, I've heard this so many times. At dinner time, everyone's sitting there with their phone, and it's nothing. It'd be far more profitable to talk to your father talk to you, you talk to your mother, your mother talks to you. It's far more profitable to have interaction with one another than to mess around the phone. And I'm telling you, beloved, when you come to dinner table, have them put their phone somewhere else, and don't have them leave it with someone else at the table. Put it in another room. Amen? And then the videos. I have to tell you, I've been doing my research here on the Illuminati. And it's real. It is real as real can be. And there's brain, mind control, and there's all sorts of things. But I'm telling you, I have learned some things recently. You may have known. I didn't know. But my life has changed about 2-3 weeks ago. Completely changed as far as watching movies, music, not that I listen to bad music, but music, it all changed. The reason is because of the connection to the devil. And I'm telling you, God really wrought a great victory in my life. The idea of our children listening to people who are demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. And they talk to them through films. They talk to them through videos. They speak to them. There's certain people I refuse to listen to. So I want to help you with this. You say, well, they're not addicted. Well, just take the phone away from them. Just say, I'm going to put the phone down for a little bit, shut it off. And, I'm waiting for a very important phone call. How important? Is it from the president? It's not from the president. Who's it from? My friend. Tell your friend you'll call him some other time. We're going to have some family time here. It's time we take our homes back, beloved. It's time to take our homes back. And again, it all starts with children that will test you to see if you're competent enough to say, no, I'm in charge and you're not. And I trust that you'll receive this and do the right thing. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around.